Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
Hello, I'm Scott Soschnick.
I'm Eben Novy Williams.
And I'm Michael Barr, and this is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where...
We...
No, Eben again.
Man. No, Eben again.
At some point, you're just going to stop mentioning that I didn't chime in.
No, man. There has to be consequences. Colin Tipton, consequences. That's all I'm asking.
I think of something.
Thank you.
We explore the big money issues in the world of sports. Let's start because, you know, CES is going on right now. In case you don't know, that's the Consumer Electronics Show out in Las Vegas. I had to go to one of those, by the way.
Really? I want to do everything I can not to
Yeah, I don't think you want to go to one of those.
Man, I'd love to go check that out.
500,000 square feet of everybody showing me their panel and their demo and their...
Next year, we'll have Barr file some five-minute audio clips reporting from the scene at CES. Yeah.
What, could you see Barr? Where's the Venetian?
Guys, I'm lost.
Yeah, where's the Venetian?
I've been indoors for 8 days.
What time is it?
But I hit an inside straight, guys.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, I learned how to play Mahjong.
Alibaba and Intel jointly announced plans to develop the first ever AI-powered 3D athlete tracking technology for the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games and beyond. Now, this is cool.
Well, not just this. I mean, we're talking about this because it's sort of symbolic of the entire industry. You can't talk sports without talking tech. And the fact that Alibaba's involved and Intel, which, by the way, has an investment fund, and we have our friend Sean Bryan over there at Intel, it really is a marriage of sports and tech. And where this is going to go in terms of what I say all the time, how do you scale? First of all, how does it help athletes? But we're going to have Brian Rolapp on the show later this week. How can you better scale your products for the global audience in that flat world? That's what the technology in sports is about.
Yeah, and just to geek out on the tech for a second, the movement in this industry is going so fast in terms of athlete tracking. What they announced this week at CES is, through cameras and through computer vision, an ability to do something that it doesn't exist quite yet. It's cool. A lot of the things that athletes wear sensors for now, you know, the sleeve that pitchers wear to measure their elbow angle, et cetera, the sleeves that runners wear on their, you know, for their neck to figure their head position or their knees. All of that is something that Alibaba, Intel, and this company, I believe called Wrench, it's WRNCH. All of that is something that they're saying that they can do via camera. And there's also some very interesting applications here, right? When you talk about the way that leagues and unions interact on player data, a lot of the lines that players draw is something that goes on my body is mine, right? That is something that I need to be involved in. If you can get all of that data, all the biometric data from a camera that's sitting up in the rafters or in the stadium, that's going to change the whole ownership prospect of the whole thing. There's a lot of really interesting applications of this outside of the fact that this is just really cool technology if they can get it done.
I want to know if our microphones are sensitive enough, if we can keep in the show that little snort swallow you had. While you...
Why did you just go there?
Because if our listeners hear it, I like to address it. That's why. But interesting story in the Times, by the way, earlier this week, Eben, about the Mavericks testing the blood of players. Yeah. And again, it goes to the privacy. Who does it belong to? Can it hurt you in contract negotiations? But and Mark leagues, Cuban has said the only people that he gives longer contracts to than his players are his doctors.
Mm-hmm. And leagues are, you know, they're all different in their approaches, essentially depending on when your CBA was signed, is how progressive your league has been because the technology is moving so fast. So the NBA, whose CBA I believe was 2016, you know, they have written in there explicitly, NBA players are allowed to opt out of anything your team wants to wear on your body biometric-wise There is a $250,000 fine for any team that uses that data in the wrong ways, including in contract negotiations.
Right.
You know, so they are probably the most progressive of the leagues in outlining that. Then you look at the NFL, CBA signed in 2010, 2011, something like that.
You're not allowed to wear warming socks.
There's nothing really in there about, certainly not about wearables and biometrics. And there is a little bit in there about the tracking, the RFID chips in shoulder pads, which is something the NFL has been working on for a while. So this is a topic that is obviously going to continue to be a big issue moving forward in sports business.
Man, I'd love to see on the TV screen. Again, you know I'm a big thing. I want to see the heartbeat. I want to see speed. I want to see, you know, collision force. Force equals mass times acceleration. So I want to see the running back and the linebacker. How fast were they running? What do they weigh? And what are you doing, Bob?
What did I just do?
I don't know. You kicked something over. My Lord. He got all excited when we saw mass times equals force times acceleration.
That got me all up in the up.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the kind of stuff. I can see this on the screen. You can see where the engagement, the prospects for owners and leagues is exciting, and then you throw on the betting on top of it.
Yeah, the gambling is a critical part of this,
because I think
that's the even bigger monetization commercial aspect of this. Is that, you know, we've seen with these deals, MGM with the NHL is a perfect example, right? They part of their deal with the NHL to become the official sports book of the league is access to a new kind of data, exactly kind of what we're talking about with Alibaba here. It is a tracking data. You know, it will show tracking puck and player, fastest skater, hardest shot. Those are things that, one, gamblers would like to know when they get a sense of, you know, who's playing well, why they're playing well, how much load is on their body. But most importantly, people might want to gamble on that, right? Who's going to have the hardest shot of the third quarter?
What's Novi Williams' creatine level tonight? How's he going to perform?
Yeah. So as athlete data is kind of advancing on these two parallel tracks, where one, the technology is so good that athletes know more about their body, their recovery, and all that than they ever have because the technology is great. Two, there's more options through broadcast and through sports betting to make money off it, you know, and that creates all these tensions between players, between teams, between leagues, between
you're gonna need
media.
You're gonna need semi-annual like CBA reopeners on tech. You can't do this over 8-year term.
Absolutely, yeah. You're right. If you're signing a 10-year CBA, and most of them at least do this, they have wiggle room in there for a tech, you know, panel to revise. I believe the NBA CBA mentioned specific companies that were the only ones allowed to be used, and I think they've updated that a few times over the past couple of years. But you're right, this is a fluid moving situation, and as tech gets better, as this Alibaba announcement shows, they're going to have to continue to revise the best practices.
You know where this is going to be applied to the common man, and you want to make money out of this? It really, because the whole point of this is for any athlete to improve their performance. A golfer, you want to improve your golf game, you want to improve your bowling game, you want to go get lessons like this, put these cameras on, and there you go. And you pay for this lesson, and you can see where your arm swing is all messed up. And I want to see that.
Where was your arm swing messed up on that last ball in the last frame when you bowled a 299? Where do you think you went wrong?
Well, I went wrong after I fell to the floor and cried.
The lane hadn't been waxed properly.
I had shot a 295 before that.
Yeah, 295 is not 299.
I know.
You're not lifelong regret 295. 299 is a lifelong regret.
Anywho, speaking of player data, which is Evan's story, which brings us to the point, who owns it?
Yeah, so we wrote something earlier this week about a sports innovation lab out of Boston, which is kind of trying to tackle all of these thorny questions, right? Who owns the data? How do you protect? In what ways do you need to protect players as commercialization happens? How do you share in the money that comes out of them? This is a group. It's 16 people. There's good representation across, you know, NFL, NFLPA are both on there. NHL, there's good league and team representation. There's also tech companies. So Whoop, the athletic tracker, Origin, Oreco, the blood testing group that the Mavericks use. They're all on the panel as well, plus some academics. They're going to sit together. They're going to meet a couple times this year. Their goal is to try to create a rough framework that leagues and teams and players can use when they're debating all these different aspects.
Four words. cooks in the
kitchen. And it's perfectly indicative of how difficult these conversations are going to be, right? Because the guy who's sitting on that panel from the NFL and the person sitting on that panel from the NFLPA are going to have differing opinions, right? And they're probably never going to see eye to eye on the on exactly the right way to balance, you know, data that comes out of shoulder pads or data, biometric data, whatever it is that's coming off of NFL players. How do you balance monetizing
that? Don't forget, they're all going back to their attorneys as well. Their in-house counsels saying, how can this be used against us? Let's say, I don't know, if should there ever be a problem with head trauma in sports, if that should ever, you know, happen. Now you know how fast the collisions were.
Sure.
You could measure, who knows, whatever biochemistry telling you that maybe something wasn't right. You know the lawyers have to have a
NFL right now, through the RFID chips, they get player location 12 times a second. Yeah. Right? That's the main data source that they get. Obviously, that tells you speed. That shows you change of direction.
You know they get impact. They're just not sharing the information.
You get
with
the
us.
Impact number, yes. Just by, you know, calculating it out. Right?
But see, what I don't understand, and this is all-encompassing what we were talking about earlier, is that, listen, what's different, because players do not want this information going out so it could be used against them. Well, what's different than holding a stopwatch on an athlete and you see that the athlete is maybe 2/10 or 3/10 slower than what he used to be?
Well, you're just drilling down into things you could not even imagine before, that you can now measure things that you wouldn't have known about. I mean, we're talking blood testing and measuring all sorts of things that can say you can run faster, longer. We'd rather have you as a player because you're less likely to get injured because of X or Y. I mean,
yeah, I'll give you another sense of what's different. The stuff being taken off of, let's take Ezekiel Elliott, who's playing in the playoffs this weekend. The stuff being taken, the data being taken off the chip in his shoulder pads goes to his team, right? That does not go to him. I'm not even sure if he would be allowed to wear a device for himself.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know, so all the data that comes off of him is being able to be used by the Cowboys, certainly to help him and to help the team. But let's say come contract negotiation time, they've got a wealth of data that they can cherry pick.
The trend line goes down, the slope is going down.
12 times a second of every time he carried the ball this year. And if his agent is only allowed to use a stopwatch and go through game tape, you're talking about two very different planes of discussion.
Let's move on now to how in the world did the 49ers, first of all, lose $10 million hosting the college football title game? But, you know, the old saying, they'll make it up on the back end.
Yeah, well, they have to foot the bill for the entire game. That was their deal. So they have to foot the bill for staging this event. Of course, they do get the right to sell some sponsorships and those sorts of things. So if you just look at it as a standalone one-off event, they come off as losing money.
I think it was $25 million.
$25 million
all in cost, right. And yeah. $10 million they thought they'd get back.
Exactly. So they do benefit, however, by staging these large scale, high profile events at their stadium. They will bring more customers in next time. They will bring other events where they have a better deal in which they can monetize. So as a one off. But why, you know, you can't just look at these things as a one-off. You're looking at it as, why do we host them? This is great promotion for the stadium, bringing more people, bringing more events down the road, enabling them to better monetize.
Yeah, it's Levi Stadium, right? Levi paid a lot of money to put its name on that stadium. And when you do those negotiations, I'm sure the stadium authority was saying, listen, we've got the biggest college football game of the year coming in 2019. You know, that's part of the conversation. So when you calculate these dollars, obviously, the money Levi's paying, you can't portion out exactly what goes to the fact that they're having the biggest, most watched cable event of the year. But part of the reason they did is because it's there. So there's a lot of, certainly from a sponsorship, certainly from a future event, certainly from just a name recognition, there's so much ancillary benefit to doing it that they're believing it works out. And I'm actually curious, I don't know, it may be true that every stadium just on the hosting of an event like this ends up in the red. I don't know what the actual thing is.
Yeah, but one quick thing about it. Didn't the ratings go down this year for the national title game?
They went down a bit, but, I mean, if you watch the game, it was a blowout pretty obviously. And also there's some fatigue about the two teams. Clemson and Alabama have played four times in the last four playoffs. But this is still, from a cable standpoint, this is a giant on the cable schedule every year. It's the most watched cable show every year. I believe this year, even though ratings went down, I believe that will be no different.
Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, by the way, he's got locks like you.
He's got great
nice
flow.
Nice
flow. A lot of conditioner.
He blows me out of the water.
Yeah, but he doesn't man bun it. He lets it rip. That one play where he took his helmet off and flipped in the same motion. I mean, yeah, too bad we're not simulcast. Evan's got his man bun again.
I like the man bun.
He's Patrick Rafter once again. It worked for Patrick Rafter.
Works for me too.
Okay.
See?
If you have to say it about yourself. How many compliments a day do you get on the man bun?
Somewhere between 0 and 0.
There is a right in between there. We don't need any compliment tracking device for this. It's just 0. But you know what's cool, by the way?
What?
I mean, I know we got to talk. Well, let's do Clemson's quarterback first, and then we're going to get something cool.
No, I just think he is in line to make a lot of money when he's all set.
Yeah, the only problem is he's prime right now.
Get hurt first.
Yeah, you know what makes most sense for him? And Evan and I talked about this off air. If he said, "I'm done with college football," now you go work with your coach, your one-on-one coaching specialist. I thought, how great would it be if he could have an internship with an NFL team? Where he, for 2 years, would sit in on meetings, would learn the game, would watch and learn. And all the NFL folks say that's great for quarterbacks, actually watch and learn.
Right.
But he'd be doing it on college time. He wouldn't be taking hits in college.
Right.
That would be the best scenario for him, for a team to take him in and say, come to, you can practice with us. Sure, you'll be an intern. You're going to be a football intern. Then when he's eligible for the draft, light years ahead of where he would have been.
For those out there who are a little confused as to why a guy who looks like he might be NFL ready and scouts are saying would be the consensus number one pick if he were in the NFL draft right now is not allowed to do that. NFL rules state that you have to be 3 years removed from your high school graduating class to enter the NFL draft. He is a true freshman, which means he has at least 2 more years to go before he's eligible to enter the NFL.
Agreed to, by the way, by the union. Negotiated in the CBA
for
by the union. And so...
and something that likely is not going to be changed. There's a reason it's in there.
But I would tell you, at least, you know, the NBA went to the one-year rule, the one and done. They had 1 year removed from high school. The NFL, part of the reasoning for the NFL is just a maturity thing, a body maturity thing. They did not think that 18, 19-year-old kids, even though these are large guys, are ready to compete against NFL-sized men.
And every cup, unlike the NBA, where it seems like every year there were people, high schoolers who were eligible and were you know, contributing in their rookie years in the NBA. In the NFL, I'd say once every 2 or 3 years, Jadeveon Clowney felt like the last one. Yeah. The last guy who was a high schooler who scouts said, this guy would be playing, would be a high draft pick right now if he was eligible.
All right, I'm going to give a special number of the week.
Oh!
Yeah, we don't normally do the number of the week, 250
million.
250 million? 250 million.
Your bank account.
I wish. Oh. Eben, you should know this.
I should know this.
Or could know this.
I should know this.
I would say should, but could.
That is Dabo Swinney's bonus. For
no, the number of dollars that Jerry Jones paid for this mega yacht.
Yeah.
Have you seen the yacht?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah,
now,
he did.
I measured these things against like Larry Ellison and Paul Allen. Paul Allen had, and we were joking. We saw the picture of the yacht, which he named after his wife. How very nice. But I couldn't tell. Like, we were like, is there a helipad on there? I didn't see the helipad.
Has to be a helipad.
Eben was like, there has to
be. You don't take a boat.
He's like,
to
how
a
do you get
size.
On this thing? I'm like, you go to the port. He's like, there's no way. You don't go to the port. This thing is a helipad. Remember, Paul Allen's yacht had the submarine and the helipad. Like, this, he needs a football field on there, right? I want to be kicking field goals through the H and into the ocean. Just ba-boom. Ba-boom. Or if you're the Chicago Bears, off the thing and stays on the boat. Oh, sorry, everybody. The doink.
Clink.
Clank.
Clank.
Clank. Clunk.
By the way, the NFL, you know what? Really, Cody Parkey, bless his heart, the NFL kind of bailed him out because they said somebody in Philly got a hand on that play, and that's why it clinked off the upright, then the crossbar, and then hit the ground.
Did that bail him out?
No,
I mean, if it happened.
You gotta make the kick.
The kick got plucked.
You gotta make the kick. You gotta get it over the head.
But no, but I mean, at least someone.
If Jerry Jones
they
is
scored
listening,
it as a block.
Gotcha. But if Jerry Jones is listening, I would like the full on tour of that yacht.
Scott wants to see the helipad.
I want to see the helipad. I just imagine the amenities. Like, also, I know a guy who had a boat done in Tampa, and the grain of wood you pick for everything. I mean, it was a long process, and this was like a 32-foot gritty. I imagine the process of this 250 million. Like, you are picking out everything for that. Oh, fantastic.
Shad Khan no longer has the richest yacht among NFL owners.
Shad will be upgrading within 6 months. Mark it down.
$300 million yacht.
Adding 7 feet to his yacht.
No helipad because there's just a landing strip on it.
Yep.
Oh, now if you have envy, this is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. I'm Michael Barr along with Scott Soschnick and Evan W. Williams.
We're here each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday exploring the world of money and sports.
Join us again at the end of the week when we speak with Brian Rolapp, who runs media at the NFL. A lot of big dollars there.
This is Bloomberg Business of Sports on Bloomberg Radio, around the world and online, wherever you get your podcasts.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.